Let us turn our attention off of every problem and every trial. And let us turn our spiritual gaze upon the jewel of heaven, Jesus Christ. Lord, I sense your Holy Spirit moving mightily right now. And Lord, that's what we need. We may think we need something physical. We may think we need something material. What we need this morning is to see Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Glory to the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of the prophet Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 6. And I'd like to begin reading at verse 1. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Be it in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return. And it shall be eaten as a tall tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of woe, lo, and go. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for this glorious scripture that we've just read, which shows what a revelation of Jesus Christ will accomplish in an individual's life and what it will mean to an entire nation when the people of God are obedient to the call of God. Lord Jesus, I'm asking today that for these next few moments you would help us to get our eyes, our spiritual eyes, off of ourselves, off of our own difficulties. And Lord, that we would turn and desire you. That Lord, we would forget. We would forget about ourselves this morning and look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that we would see him in a glorious way. And we'll know when we see him, for the result will be the same as happened with the great prophet Isaiah. Lord, do a work in our hearts and in our lives today. Change us today through the power of your Spirit. Help us to preach your word in a way that will bring honor and glory to you, Jesus. Help us to minister it in a way that will make it come alive to our hearts and to our understanding. And Holy Spirit, we lean exclusively upon your power in Jesus' name to help us to do what we've requested. Amen and amen. You may be seated. It was about 10 years after the Civil War had ended. A young Union soldier by the name of Ira Sankey was guarding the perimeter outside of Atlanta, Georgia. Even though the war had ended, there was still great animosity between the North and the South. And the Southern states still contained insurgents that wanted to still take over the government of the United States. And as Ira was on guard that night, it was a pitch black night, but the stars were shining beautifully. As he marched around the perimeter of Atlanta, Georgia, guarding the city, a great fear fell upon him. And so much so that he could hardly continue to walk for fear. And he was a man of faith. He had faith in Jesus Christ. And he began to pray and ask for the Lord to protect him. And as he began to pray, the Lord brought to his mind a song that his mother had sang to him for years when he was a child, and one that I'm sure all of you are familiar with, Amazing Grace. And in that clear, pitch black night, just outside of Atlanta, Georgia, his voice seemed to just float along the airwaves as he threw back his head and sang that song with all of his ability. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And as he sang that song, he didn't know that in the woods just beyond the perimeter was a Confederate insurgent taking aim at him with his rifle. And the Confederate insurgent raised the rifle and started to pull the trigger when he heard what Ira Sankey was singing. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. This man was so touched and moved by what he was hearing that he had to put his rifle down and weep, and could not fire the shot that would have no doubt killed Ira Sankey. Some years later, on a boat, one of the river boats on the Mississippi, Ira Sankey was taking a cruise, and Ira Sankey went on to gain great fame, singing for a well-known evangelist by the name of Billy Sunday. He had an amazing voice, Ira Sankey did. Was touched by God. So touched that night that he sang, that Confederate soldier, because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was on Ira Sankey, could not fire the shot that would have no doubt killed him. But years after all of this, and after he had become well-known singing in the Billy Sunday Crusades, he was on a riverboat, one of the big paddle boats that went up and down the Mississippi, headed for home to visit some of his family, when somebody on the ship recognized him and said, "Are you Ira Sankey?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And then it didn't take long, for he was well known, for the crowd to gather around him and they asked him to sing. And he said, I'm really not prepared, but I love to sing for the Lord, and I'll be happy to sing if that's what you would desire. And he thought for a moment, and Amazing Grace was his favorite song. And so there in front of that crowd, he began to sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. When a man in the crowd pushed through the crowd to the front where Ira was singing, and he began to weep. And then at the conclusion of Ira Sankey's song, he asked him, he said, "Sir, did you ever serve in the Union Army?" And Ira Sankey said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Do you remember a night about 12 years ago outside of Atlanta, Georgia, you were on guard duty?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "You didn't know it, But I was in the woods that night. I was a Confederate insurgent at that point in my life. And he said, I had my gun aimed at you, ready to kill you. But he said, I heard you sing that song about God and about His grace. And he said, I put my rifle down. And he said, underneath the stars that night around Atlanta, Georgia, I made up my mind and I told God that I would no longer fight against Him, for He'd been convicting my heart. And I cried out to Him that night and gave my heart and life to Him, and I've been serving Jesus Christ ever since that night. You never know what God is doing. God moves deeply behind the scenes oftentimes in ways that we don't see, nor I believe will we ever see until we get to heaven. Hence, we cannot judge our individual success or failure by what we see or don't see happen in this life. God is judge, and God is the one who's going to reveal all one day. He's going to reveal the motives of why we, not only what we did, but why we did what we did. And as we look at the book of Isaiah this morning, we see who is often called the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, Isaiah. He's called the greatest prophet of the Old Testament not merely due to the magnitude of his writings, but because of the intense intricacy he wrote with prophetically, down to the minutest detail about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Hence, he is called the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, of the writing prophets. Jesus called John the Baptist the greatest, but of the writing prophets. Isaiah is deemed by just about every scholar to be the greatest because of the intensity and the magnitude and the clarity through which he revealed the coming Messiah. But as great as Isaiah was, he was just a man. He was just a man like you and I. He was a man who had a fallen nature, who had a sin nature. If I could tell you nothing else this morning, I'd want you to know this. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. The banker on Wall Street who's consumed with greed needs Jesus. The drug addict laying face down in the gutter, having no hope, needs Jesus. The down and out need Jesus. The up and out need Jesus. Everybody needs to know who Jesus is and what He has done for humanity. Everybody needs to know that the only delivering power from sin there is in this world is through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Everybody needs to know that Jesus can heal. Jesus can save. The world needs to know that Jesus is alive. And He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He alone is able to do what we cannot do for ourselves. But before all those wonderful things can happen, men have to see Jesus. They have to see Him. That Confederate soldier that night, he had to see Jesus. Even though he heard Ira Sankey sing the song, he spiritually received a revelation of who Jesus is. And that's what brings about salvation. When men see who Jesus is, it's the greatest thing that can happen to a human being is to get a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about merely seeing Him through physical eyes. I'm talking about seeing Him through spiritual eyes. I'm talking about seeing Him for who He is and what He's done. I'm talking about seeing Him for how much He loves you. And I want you to know this morning that God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ has paid an extremely high price to wash your sin away and to make you free, but you've got to see Him. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw a vision of the Lord, and He was high and lifted up. Isaiah saw Him in His glory. Isaiah saw Him seated on the throne. Isaiah saw the seraphim and the cherubim flying around the throne and declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." He had a vision of glory that beggars description. But in it all, when he saw this glorious sight, the first thing that Isaiah said is, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And I'm a man that comes from a people of unclean lips. Before you can clearly see Jesus Christ, you have to hit the state of woe. In other words, you have to know that I'm a sinner. I've got no hope of change in my life through human effort. I've got no hope of change in my heart. You see, only God can change a human heart. Only God can take an evil desire out of a human being. Only God can take that which is bent and set in rebellion against Him and turn it into something beautiful. But first there must be a revelation of God. Man must see God, and Jesus Christ is the revelation of God Almighty to mankind. If you want to see God, look at Jesus. Look into His eyes of love. Look into His face of mercy. Look into His heart of grace, and you'll see God, and you'll see how much God loves you. God hates the fact that people are hooked on drugs and alcohol. He hates the fact that mankind is bound by every kind of addiction that you can name. But God has made a provision for every addiction and every power of sin to be broken, and it is through the cross of Jesus Christ. It is man's sin that made the cross a necessity. For each and every one of us have broken God's law. There's not been a one of us that have even kept all 10 of the 10 commandments, nor will we ever. But that's why Jesus Christ came. This, I want you to see the necessity of the cross this morning. The necessity of the cross was predicated upon us not being able to meet God's standard. God's standard is 100% perfection, living 100% holy. We can never do it, but Jesus Christ came and He did for us what we can never do. He lived a holy life. He lived a perfect life. That's what makes His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, of His life and of His blood, supreme to God, because it was perfect blood. It was perfect blood. And that's why God says, if you'll put your faith in what He's done for you on the cross, I'll impart to you and I will impute to you His righteousness, His glory, His holiness, and I'll call you clean. I want to hold up Jesus to this lost and dying world this morning. I want you to see Jesus this morning. I want you to see Jesus. I'm not much interested in how great of an orator you think I am. I'm not much interested in how pretty you think our service is. I want you to see Jesus, because I know if you see Jesus, you'll be drawn to Him, and He will set you free from sin and from every malady that has plagued humanity. And only Jesus Christ can do it. Man tries with intense effort to make himself right before God. Man wants to believe, due to his fallen nature, that surely there's something I can do that will make me acceptable to Him. When you really see Jesus, the first thing you realize is what Isaiah realized. There's nothing I can do. Jennifer sang so beautifully about it this morning. I'm ashamed you'll see my shame. What a great line in that song. I'm ashamed of who I am. But you know, it's a necessity first that we be ashamed. We've got to know that without God's provision and God's covering, all we have before Him is shame and disgrace, because we don't meet His standard. And when Isaiah looked on Him and saw His glory, he said, woe is me. Woe is me. Whenever you really see Jesus, whenever you really understand who Jesus is, the first thing that's going to hit you is an overwhelming sense of unworthiness to be in His presence. An overwhelming sense that I'm a sinner. I don't even deserve to be standing where I'm standing. See, that's what happened to Isaiah. First there comes a woe. First there comes a woe. But here's the beauty of our grace, gracious Savior, Jesus Christ. He died not only to remove sin's power. He died to remove sin's shame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to his name. He died not only to break its ugly, tenacious power, but he died to remove its shame. There's a horrible shame in sin. Even if you don't know God and you're living a life of rebellion, even if you don't really love Jesus Christ, sin carries with it a horrible amount of shame. That's why people try every way in the world to somehow muffle that shame. They try to drink it away. They try to drug it away. They use every kind of tactic known to man, psychologist pills, trying to make that sense of shame go away. And through all of those efforts, it can't be done. But after Isaiah saw his sinful state and realized, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. He had an overwhelming sense of shame before the Lord. But when a person gets to that place to where they realize, I cannot help myself. I cannot deliver myself. I cannot change my heart through any effort that's on this earth. You're not far from meeting the King of Kings and Lord of Lords then. I want you to see the action here. After Isaiah says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. Look at what happens next. He sees an angel flying through the air. And the angel flies over to the altar, where the burnt offering is sacrificed. The altar of burnt offering. Now let me tell you a little bit about this altar of burnt offering in the Old Testament. When you entered into the Old Testament tabernacle, the brazen altar would be the first sight you would be met with after you went inside the tabernacle. And on this brazen altar was where the sacrifice was laid. And the fire on that altar was ignited by lightning from heaven when fire fell. God started the fire that was on the brazen altar. And the animals were laid upon it as sacrifice unto God. Because man cannot approach God without some type of covering. And those animals provided a stopgap measure, if you will, pointing toward the day that Jesus Christ would come and give his life. That's why the book of Hebrews says that we have a better covenant that's based on better promises with God. Because under the Old Testament economy, when those animals were sacrificed and offered up, they did not remove sin. That's what you need to see. They did not remove sin. They did not totally remove the sense of shame. But they pointed toward the day when the one was going to come who would ultimately remove sin and remove shame. This year, these words have meant more to me than they ever have before, spoken by John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming over the Judean hillside, pointed at him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Not just covered it. He's going to be the one to take it away. He'll remove the sin. He'll remove the shame. He's the one who'll set the sinner free. He's the one who'll cleanse us. He's the one who'll make us right with God if we'll look unto him. It's the most glorious thing that could ever happen to a human being. To find out that through Jesus Christ, they can be set free from sin. They don't have to walk around being shameful because the Lamb of God has paid a price for them to be delivered from the power of sin and from the shame of sin. And when the angel flew to that burnt altar and took one of the coals off of the burnt offering that was on the altar, he took it over and he flew over to the lips of the prophet Isaiah and touched him with that gold. All Isaiah could do was stand there in his shame and in his sin in the presence of a holy God. That's tough for us humans because when we approach God, that's all we can do. I'm going to tell you something that may be a bit difficult. Excuse me for a moment. that may be a bit difficult to hear this morning, but it's truth. We've got nothing to approach God with but shame and sin. Even the best of us as humans, no matter how good you may think you are this morning or how well you think you're doing, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. Not some. All. And all we've got to offer Him is sin and shame. But you know really what God wants from us? Just our acknowledgement of that. That's what Isaiah told Him. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. There's so much in that statement. I don't have time to properly elucidate it this morning. But he was saying, Lord, I can't help myself. Lord, I'm dirty. I'm unclean. I'm shameful. And I'm in your presence, and there's nothing I can do. But then the angel says, as he takes that coal and touches Isaiah's lips, he says, lo, I have purged your sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you see the picture there? We can't do nothing, but God can. We can't change our state before Him through our own effort. But God has made a provision for that state and that status to be changed. And let me tell you a little bit about the power and the efficacy of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When you place your faith in Christ exclusively and what He did for you at the cross, all of your sin is wiped away in God's sight. Every last stain, every last bit of it is, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't care how deep your sin. I don't care how great your shame. If you'll get to the cross of Jesus Christ and ask His blood to cleanse you, you're going to find that God's word is real and there will be a born-again experience in your life and your life will change. Sin's power no longer have a hold on you. And now if a sense of shame comes upon you, all you've got to do is look to the cross and know my sin has been washed away. My shame has been washed away. I stand holy and I stand righteous in the sight of Almighty God because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you are in a mess this morning. You're in a terrible fix. But let me tell you something. God is working on you in the midst of that fix. He's with you in the midst of your tribulation and in the midst of your trial. And I believe I'm speaking prophetically from the Holy Spirit of God right now. He's doing things to protect you and to preserve you that you're not even aware of. You may think you're all alone at night on a dark hillside outside of Atlanta, and you might be scared to death thinking there's nobody else around, but if your faith is in Jesus Christ and His shed blood, the Holy Ghost surrounds you. The Holy Ghost surrounds you. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost of God is walking with you every step you take. And there's something going on that is far beyond your understanding that you may not know until you get to glory. But the Holy Ghost wants you to know this morning your God will not fail you. He's with you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He will not fail you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And sometimes, I should say it better than all the time, it's difficult for us as humans to just stand there and admit, I can't do nothing. I can't change anything. I cannot fix anything in my life that's going wrong. You see, sin's the cause of it all. And there's only one antidote for sin. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's why I get amused at these politicians on TV beating their little chest, talking about all they're going to do. They ain't going to do nothing. I'm here to tell you, you may think, oh, well, Pastor, that's unpatriotic. They may try. They ain't going to do nothing pounding their chest saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They need to be in the position Isaiah was in. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips and I ain't got no clue of what to do. Wouldn't you like to hear one of them say that sometime? It'll never happen in our lifetime. But really admit the truth. I just want power and I just want a high position and I'm doing everything I can to get your vote to tell you what you want to hear to get it. And I really ain't got no power to change nothing. I'm going to lean on Almighty God. I'm going to hit my knees every day and ask him for wisdom because I ain't got none and I don't know what to do. But I know if we'll cry out to him, he'll heal our land. His word says that. You never hear a politician say that. Republican or Democrat. Why? They're too ate up with themselves. I think it was Benjamin Franklin said it best. Those who lust and hunger most after power are those least fit to hold it. True statement. In any event, until you're in that position to where you realize, I can't do nothing, God will not help you. He can't. Because as long as you're trying to do what only he can do, you're in his way. And you'll not know peace, and you'll not know the glorious feeling of having your sin forgiven. But Isaiah did just that. Whoa, I'm a man of unclean lips. When you get to that point, God's going to answer you. God answered Isaiah. He said, lo, I have purged thy sin. I've touched your mouth, Isaiah, with the hot coals off of the altar of sacrifice. That is such a beautiful picture of what happens every time a sinner comes to Jesus Christ. Because you know what happens in the spirit realm? Let me try to give you a little glimpse into what happens when the sinner approaches Christ and says, Lord Jesus, I can't help myself. I'm bound by sin. Will you help me? As we stand there helpless, naked and shameful, spiritually speaking, before God, he says, lo, I'll help you. He turns to his Father in glory. And I'll just use Paul just because he's on the front row. Father, this is my son Paul now who's just asked my blood to cleanse him. I announce his name before you and I offer up my blood and my righteousness and my holiness for Paul. God Almighty in the throne of glory bangs the high gavel of judgment down and declares you not guilty. My son Paul is not guilty. He is fully adopted into my kingdom, and he stands holy and righteous because I now look at him through you, my son Jesus. Jesus Christ then turns and announces to the portals of glory, this is my son Paul who has come into my kingdom now, and he is fully has full rights in my kingdom. Glory to God. And as all we can do is just stand there as he does the work. Do you get that? All we can do is just stand there as Christ does the work on us. Oh, if we could just learn that lesson even after we come to know him. Because we think somehow after we come to know him that what got us in is not the way to stay in. That now we've got to go back to working again to make ourselves righteous before God. That's such a fallacy. What got you in is how you stay in. You just merely stand there, keep your eyes focused upon him, keeping your faith in him, and God the Holy Ghost will go to work on your life and change your life. Things will fall away. Sin will start to fall away. Desires will start to change. And people around you will start to notice, hey, there's something different about you. You're not walking like you used to walk. You're not talking like you used to talk. And it's all because of the mighty working of the power of God. The power of God can do anything. The power of God can change the heart of a prostitute. The power of God can change the heart of a drug addict. The power of God can change the heart of a backslidden religionist. The power of God can change any heart. Hallelujah. Lo, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done in every one of our lives to those of you that have your faith in Jesus Christ. God's done exactly what I've just described to you in the previous few moments. It's a glorious thing. It's a glorious thing. And I can't let go of it just yet. I feel the Holy Spirit prodding me. He's protecting you right now. Let me tell you something. Ira Sankey did not know that night on the hills outside of Atlanta how close he was to death. God was protecting him. God was preserving him because he had a great purpose for that man, a great calling on that man. In the midst and the darkness of your trial this morning, whatever it may be, the one thing you must know is that Satan cannot do to you anything but what God allows. And if you're God's child, God's allowing everything that's going on in your life right now. And if he's allowing it, just like he allowed the fear to come upon Ira Sankey that night outside of Atlanta, he's with you. You'll never go anywhere. His Holy Spirit won't be there if your faith's in Christ. King David said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. You got to know that. He's walking with you every step of the way. And as long as you keep that humble attitude, as is revealed in Isaiah's vision, woe, I can't help myself, Lord. Lo, God's response will be, I'll help you. I'll do what you cannot do for yourself, and I'll be protecting you and preserving you even when you don't know about it. I feel strongly right now. I know I've said this before, but I feel strongly to say it again. There's some of you, you felt like he's not there. He wants you to know he's there. He's there. I know that's nothing real profound, but that's what I feel him prodding me to tell you. He's there. He's there. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He's there. He's there with you this morning. Woe, lo. And then he tells Isaiah something because he had a mission for this great prophet. He now tells him, go. Go and prophesy, Isaiah. Go and preach. You see, Isaiah was overwhelmed with gratefulness for what the Lord had done for him. He saw the vision. He saw how unclean he was. He watched as the Lord did the work and purged him and cleansed him. And then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall we send and who will go for us? That's always the result of somebody who's really had an encounter with Jesus and has had a real vision and a revelation of who Jesus is. They want to go tell somebody else about it. It's so wonderful, they just can't hardly contain it. And when Isaiah heard the Godhead saying, who will go for us? The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He said, here am I. Send me. I'm going to start to close now on this last point. But God has been protecting this church. Now, all I know about this church. I'm not saying we're the only one, but this is the only church that I know of, and God speaks to me about this church. Through a lot of difficulties, personally and spiritually, this body has suffered over the last year. And as I made mention of a few weeks ago, I don't know of anyone who regularly attends here who hasn't been under some kind of major attack in the last year. I'm talking major. But as I prepared this message, the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, but I've preserved you, haven't I? You're still there, ain't you? And he said, I've been walking with you. Even when you thought I wasn't, I've still been there. Let's be honest for a minute. Aren't there times when you feel like he ain't there? But he's such a gracious Savior that he even understands our human frailty in that realm. And as long as our faith is right, even our lack of sense of his presence will not drive him away from us. He loves us that much. He'll hang in there with us. And he's been preserving us in the midst of all the storms that have been going on in the lives of this body. He's been there. He's been there. And he's still going to be there. But I believe this, to use the metaphor that I opened this message with. As a body, we've been a little bit like Ira Sankey. We've been walking around the perimeters of a burned city and maybe been fearful with what's going on. But in the midst of that fear, we've kept our faith in Jesus Christ. And we've lifted our hands still singing, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And God's been protecting us and preserving us. Because for such a time as we're about to go into right now, he wants us to carry this message outside these four walls. Woe, low, they go. We realize we can't do it on our own power and strength. We realize how helpless we are. We realize, God, you've got to do the work. But we're so enraptured as individuals and as a body with who Jesus is and what he's done for us on the cross that we want to go tell somebody else about it. And he's sending us out now. And he's going to go with us. He's preserved us. He's kept his hand upon us through the trials and through the difficulties. Like the old song says, through many dangers, trials, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. Praise God. I'm telling you, church, as we start to do these outreaches, God's got his hand on us. And our message is encapsulated in what we read this morning in Isaiah. Woe, all of humanity is guilty before God. Lo, God Almighty has made a provision through Christ and what he did at the cross to obliterate that sin and shame and to deliver mankind from it. And go. God needs somebody to go tell him that. Let me preach just a moment longer before we go to the altar call. God only anoints his message. God only puts his power on his message. He does not put it on a man's message. He does not put his power on man's ideology. And man's ideology cannot set anyone free. The cross is an offense to a lost and dying world, but the cross is the power of Almighty God. The cross must be declared for the power of God to be wrought. And we're going to take it to the city hall and the shadow of the highest offices in Springfield. And I do care. I don't want to offend people intentionally, but I don't want to compromise God's word. We're going to stand there and humbly yet boldly tell them, it's the cross. It's the cross. It's the cross. Hallelujah. I believe this is the finest hour for this little body. I believe it's what God's brought us together to do. And just like Isaiah, we realize in and of ourselves, Lord, we can't do anything. But watch what he's going to do now. Because we're carrying his message. We're carrying his message. And he said, I'm going to watch over my word that it not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I sent it forth to do. We're going to see some great things. Get ready. Get ready. And it's just going to be because of God. Not because of our intellect, not because of our organizational ability. It's going to be because of God and his call. And he's preserved and protected us for this hour. He wants this message out there. He wants this message out there. It's his message. It's not ours. Christ crucified is the message of Almighty God. And it's the only message that will deliver a captive. Would you bow your heads? Father, in the name of Jesus, today we come to you. And Lord, I just pray you'll give every soul in this building today a revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord, to those of us who've known him for many years, may you give us a fresh revelation of just how sinful we yet would be were it not for the blood of Jesus. How far into the morass of sin we would have sunk were it not for Jesus. Give us a revelation of his glory, of his grace, and of his mercy. Let us see Jesus today like Isaiah saw him. Let us open our spiritual eyes today, Lord, to see Jesus. And let us know that as long as our faith is in Christ alone, he walks with us every step of the way. Through every darkness, through every tribulation, through every pain, through every hurt, he's there. He's there. He's there. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Spirit prodding me to put that across. He's there. He is there. Jesus is with you. with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Are there any here today? Maybe you're feeling like Isaiah felt initially. You're realizing you're a sinner. You're realizing you're unclean before a holy God. That's not altogether a bad thing. It's called Holy Ghost conviction. It's God showing you graciously that you need Him to do for you what only He can do. And the good news is, if you'll call on Him, just like Isaiah did, the Bible says He's no respecter of persons. There's an old song that says, it is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. I said He'll pardon you. That means declare you not guilty and treat you as if there was never any wrong done on your part at all. That's what God will do for you this morning if you'll come to Him through Jesus Christ and place your faith in what Christ did for you on the cross. Are there any here today who would say, Pastor, I'm ready. I want that to happen for me if I see that hand. Praise God. Are there others? Are there others? I'm ready, Pastor. I'm ready to surrender to God. I can't help myself. Sin's the problem and I can't fix it. And don't be ashamed of that. We're all in that same boat together. Nobody's looking down their nose at you. Are there others who would say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. By holding up your hand. And I promise you, I'm not going to embarrass you. Then would everyone please stand. Ravonna, Debbie, and Julie, would you all ladies please come and stand here at the altar? With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, please. Would you all face the congregation? If you raised your hand and said, I want to come to Jesus today, and some of you did, these ladies are going to meet you. I want you to come to the altar right now. Would you all go meet her? Are there others? Are there others? We're just going to pray with you. I promise we won't embarrass you. If you need Jesus this morning, are there any others? Don't be ashamed. We won't embarrass you. These ladies are just going to lead you in a prayer because maybe you don't know what to say to God. But He will answer you and cleanse you from sin if you'll come to Him today through Jesus. Are there any others? And I'm going to ask everyone who will now, would you come and present yourselves at the altar of God? I strongly feel the Holy Spirit wants to move further upon the saints of God this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning as we gather around this altar, give us a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ this morning and what He's doing in our individual lives. As you're gathered at this altar this morning, some of you, I know, I believe many of you, you're in a very strenuous trial right now. And the Holy Spirit wants me to say it again. He's there with you. He has not left you. He's not forsaken you. He's there with you. Maybe Satan's desired you and maybe Satan's had you in the crosshairs of his gun sight. But God is protecting you right now. God is protecting you and God is preserving you right where you stand right now. In the midst of the trial. Could I say this? He did not save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. He saved them in it. His power was not poured out on the outside of the furnace. His power was poured out in the fire. Hallelujah. And He wants you to know this morning His power is being poured out on you as you stand in your fiery furnace. He's walked in there with you. He's guided your steps. Hallelujah. He's guided your steps. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Get that revelation today. Let the Holy Spirit impart it to you of His unending love and His unfailing grace towards you and His ever-abiding presence that is with you. It may take a little bit of faith on your part to believe that, but if you've got faith as a grain of mustard seed, He'll honor it. That's why David said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. It's a great statement of faith. He's with you this morning. He's with you this morning. Praise God. And His presence guarantees you're overcoming the situation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, as we're dismissed, could you just lift your hands toward heaven in submission to Him? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today. And Lord, like the old song says, we don't need to understand. We just need to hold your hand. Lord, I'm sure there are multitudes out here today who don't understand why they're facing what they're facing, but you're with them. But you're with them. And you're not going to leave them. You're not going to forsake them. Praise the holy name of Jesus this morning. Lord, we worship you. We praise you. Just praise Him for a few moments this morning. Just worship Him and give Him glory this morning. Father, we stand in your presence today, giving you praise and glory, giving you honor, giving you our hearts and our lives, knowing that we can't affect anything, but you're in charge of everything, Lord Jesus. Sister, what is your name? Kelly. Kelly. Would it be all right if I prayed for you this morning? I just feel the Lord leading me to pray for you, okay? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, as your word declares, you came to heal the broken heart and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Lord, that meant all of us who've suffered life's calamities. And in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to give Kelly a special touch this morning, Lord. Heal her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet by the power of God in Jesus' name. Lord, I just sense mightily your hand upon this young lady. Just bless her, Lord, and keep her in your care in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's sing that as we're dismissed. How great thou. Paul, would you come up, grab a mic, and lead us in that? You and Michelle, please. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How great thou art. Lord, in the midst of our calamity, we lift our hands and praise you and we declare your greatness. We declare your ability to overcome in any situation. We know that you walk with us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Lord. Sing it with them.
When I in awesome wonder consider
yes.
all the worlds thy hands have made.
Yes, Lord.
I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder.
Thy power
throughout the universe display.
Sing it to Him now, church.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
How great you are, Lord Jesus.
How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Go ahead with the second verse, you all.
And when I think
yes, that God, his Son not sparing,
send him to die.
I scarce can take it in. Praise your holy name, Jesus.
That on the cross,
my yes.
burden gladly
yes,
bury, he bled and died.
To take it away, glory to God.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Praise God, praise God, praise God forevermore. Mina, I want to pray for you before we're dismissed. Would you all stretch forth your hands toward her? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you today. And Lord, I know this dear lady's made a decision to be a soldier of the cross of Christ. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus for you to put a hedge of protection around her, for the enemy will try everything in this world to dissuade her, Lord, and to attack her. But Lord, be mighty in her life. Show yourself a strong fortress for her, Lord Jesus. And bless her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus.